My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons, part of the Soundstone Network. Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode of Pixels and Polygons. It's the conversational podcast about video games hosted by me, Darren Hupke. If you are new to the show, thanks for giving it a shot and thanks for checking it out. The format's simple. I have a rotating cast of guests who come on. I ask them a single video game related question or prompt and we talk about it. It's short and sweet. It's designed to be easy, quick listens, and it's the perfect podcast in between podcasts. So thanks for checking it out, and hopefully you enjoy the episode. If you've come back and you're a returning listener, thank you for your support. Thanks for continuing to listen to it, and thanks for checking it out. I appreciate you. You can support me and consider doing things to support me by leaving a like or writing a review or sharing a link online. All that helps and goes a long way, and it's much appreciated. I've got other ways you can support over on Patreon at patreon.com/Darren Hupke. For as little as $1 a month, you can also support the show. That will allow you to contribute icebreaker questions that I will ask in future episodes and give you a shout out by name if I select your question. So if you'd like to interact with the show a bit and support me at the same time, consider doing that. Like I said, $1 a month over on my Patreon. Same thing on my Patreon page. You can find the digital storefront for all of my publishing books. Pixels and Polygons is more than just a podcast. I've got my retro game zine issues available for purchase there digitally. I've also got the 32-bit library series of books and books like the Beat 'em Up Volume 1 available over on the Patreon shop for digital consumption. If you want physical, if you want an actual book mailed to you or a zine mailed to you, head over to pixelsandpolygons.net. That is my storefront where you can buy everything direct from me. So again, the 32-bit library books, I've got t-shirts, stickers, other merch, all the issues of Retro Game Zine and the upcoming 2025 annual. Everything that I've got, you can find there. So if you want to support the show, if you want to support me, consider purchasing or checking out any of those projects digitally, physically, or through Patreon. Thanks again for listening to the show, and hopefully you like what you hear and you come back next week. Enjoy the episode after this ad break and stay retro. Bye.
Listen to Flashback 64, the chronological Nintendo 64 podcast. Hosts Gooey, McKenna, and friends flashback to the 90s and early 2000s with a look at the Nintendo 64's catalog and its contemporary, cultural, and historical context. Starting with the console's launch titles and proceeding in release order, we discuss classics like GoldenEye, Super Mario 64, and Star Fox 64, as well as some not-so-beloved games, lesser-known titles, and everything in between. Along with game-specific deep dives, we also cover other bits of pop culture from the time, like films, music, and more. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
A new episode of Pixels and Polygons, a conversational podcast about video games. I am Darren Hupke. I have a new guest alert. So another episode with a new voice you may not be familiar with if you don't listen to other podcasts. But if you do listen to other podcasts, such as Fine Time, maybe you'll recognize this individual. But I have Steve from Fine Time here. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've not been on Fine Time. That's not I'm not disappointed by that by any means whatsoever.
Really? We had you on the pimp a book. No?
I don't know. I don't think I was on Fine Time. Was I? Did I forget? It doesn't matter.
No, we had a pre-recorded segment for that. No.
My anecdote was just that we were on a separate podcast together. We weren't on either of our shows at all. We did the Superpod show with Aaron. But yeah, it's just fun to talk about video games wherever we're at on whatever podcast that it is. So thanks for doing it.
Well, obviously no problem. I can do that all night. Standing on my head. Don't ask me to stand on my head. I'm too old and fat for that.
Standing on your head was the main character of Lunar Dragon Song, the main character of that game. That was one of their interests. And when you start the game, the main character is just doing a headstand out in the middle of nowhere before an NPC comes up to introduce this, like, the plot of the game. And it's the most ridiculous, stupidest thing that I remember being introduced to in a video game. That game was bad for many reasons, but when the main character's interest is standing on their head, you know you're off to a good start.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing it. We tell us a little about obviously, like, Fine Time. We've had Andre from Fine Time on the show, but maybe tell us a little about Fine Time and maybe the elevator pitch if people want to, like, listen to another video game show. And then maybe tell us a little about your, you know, how long have you been playing games? How long has video games and this entertainment industry been a part of your life?
Well, Fine Time is a show I do with Andre and Kevin. Andre's mostly in charge, but, you know, I'm on there too. And that's okay, because I've been playing video games for a very, very long time. Since, I don't know, since I can pick up the controller, I guess. So that makes me qualified to talk about a video game or many video games. So that's okay. I'm allowed to be here and talk about the video games. It's okay. I'm going to know what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, these questions are for you. These aren't Andre's questions. This isn't a Fine Time topic or theme or anything. These are things that only you are going to be able to answer and know. Yeah, thanks for doing the thing. So do you want to jump into it, and maybe I can throw an icebreaker at you to get the brain juice moving?
Whatever you got for me.
Okay. Well, I like asking this one. I like throwing a little surprise curveball at folks, but what is a game that you've wrongly judged by its cover or title? You know, something you ended up loving or enjoying later on, but maybe initially, you know, thought, heck no.
I initially thought that,
Yeah, either the box art, you know, looked bland, or the name of it was just, like, not appealing or something. But when you actually got around to playing it, you know, it surprised you.
Man, I don't know about, I don't, okay, I'm very in the time of video game magazines and things, so I feel like I'm always somewhat informed of what a game's going to be. Mm. I don't usually pick up a cover and go, whatever. I'm usually somewhat informed. But I'm famously wrong for, or at least famously having had changed my mind in our early days of having been turned around on Final Fantasy 15. A very long time ago at New York Comic Con, I played that. They called it a demo. It was really, they would just really just let the game keep running. I'm like, really? We're going to go on a road trip with the staff from Hot Topic and get lost in the desert? And I don't know about this, you guys. But then eventually I got the PlayStation 5 and they gave us all those games. I'm like, oh, I'll play it on the show for yucks. I wasn't, now that this is a thing I do, podcasting, like, I get it now. This isn't awful.
I still have not given that its fair shake. I have a friend who loves 15 specifically. I've gone, I kind of fell off around 13. And again, that's one probably if I went back to try and play it, maybe I'll enjoy it. But at the time, I was just like, no, 13's not doing it for me. I fell out, didn't play any of its sequels. 14 being online, you know, I don't really consider it necessarily in the same conversation. And then 15 just looked, yeah, exactly like, you know, not anything that I was wanting or anticipating that I would enjoy. But from what I hear, it, you know, people who give it a time of day actually do walk away with some entertainment there. So I need to maybe try and give it a fair shot.
I don't think I can give 13 another chance. I was cat sitting for a friend a million years ago. Oh, you could just play Xbox while you're here if you want. Final Fantasy 13. Sure, why not? I didn't play this yet. I think I gave it about 5 hours before switching to Mass Effect, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I people keep telling me, like, oh, well, if you get to, like, the X point in the game, you know, it gets really good. It opens up from there and everything. And I'm like, well, how many hours is that? And they're like, ah, it's about 20 to 30 hours or so. Once you get there, it gets so much better. And I'm not going to spend 20 to 30 hours banging my head against the
hallway. I'm about a slow build, but that's all. That's entire video games you can play.
Yeah, exactly. But all right. So Final Fantasy 15. Yeah, good. That's a good one. I can throw a couple of this or that questions at you, and then we'll jump into the main topic. How's that sound?
All right.
This house lets us kind of feel you out and get an idea of who you are, Steve. Arcade or console?
Console.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Let's see, a warrior or a mage?
A warrior.
Okay. Handheld or TV?
Oh, it's more handheld these days.
And that's just from, like, a convenient standpoint, or because...
Yeah.
I mean, things like the Switch obviously are more powerful to, you know, be able to do things that you could do on your TV on the go as well. Let's see another one. Tomb Raider, the original or the reboot?
You're basically asking pointy boobs or not so pointy boobs, aren't you?
Is one way to phrase it, sure.
I'm not super familiar with Tomb Raider. I'll just say the original, just because that's the one I kind of played.
Okay. Do you prefer medieval setting or a sci-fi setting?
Oh, that's a very mean question. I like medieval settings.
Do you? Okay. Well, so I've asked this question quite a few times, and I feel like a lot of people lean to sci-fi. Like, maybe they're not against medieval, but they're, like, leaning in that direction. But yeah, it's good.
I won't poo-poo a sci-fi setting.
Okay. Let's see. Let's do one more on this. Turn-based or real-time? You can expand on that to being, you know, combat or gameplay, whatever you want.
Turn-based, but again, I won't turn down anything if it plays well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these are meant to be, you know, sometimes you know, more of a tougher choice, but if you had to pick one of them. Did I say that was the last one? Let's just do one more. Let's do Sonic or Knuckles?
Knuckles. I like to cheat and glide and climb on walls.
Yeah, break the old games. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Steve, when we initially started talking about having you come on the show, I sent you the list of questions I like to ask. And I always have people pick out a couple. You know, we record, you know, two episodes in a sitting is what I typically do. I don't know why I always feel like I have to explain that when I get to this point. But yes. So one of the questions, the first question you picked from that I want to ask you is, what is a wow moment you had with a game? So was it something, what was about it that impressed you or kind of blew your mind? Was it gameplay? Was it like the first time you saw something? Like what, you know, what is it about? Tell us that story about what is a wow moment you had with a game.
Okay. So some background, anyone that's followed me from Fine Time to Here is going to know I'm the Nintendo person, but I'm not talking about any of that today, but I am going to upset you a little bit because I've heard on a few shows that you're not a big fan of the scary games. So we're going to talk about the scary game today, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
Kind of. So I thought I would be talking about something fairly recent, but Resident Evil Revelations, a game that's from 2012. Holy shit. Or Resident Evil Revelations, as someone pointed out to me the other. Oh yeah, that's right. That's probably what my spine on the 3DS version says. Yeah, you know, if you're somehow unaware, that was that showpiece for 3DS, got poured to everything. Yeah, you know, good reason. It found that reasonable balance between that puzzle stuff everyone liked versus action moments it was sort of going towards, you know, especially after Resident Evil 6 ruined everything. Including this gem about a third of the way through. You're swapping between Jill and partner of the day, Parker. You're on the terrorist ship. You know, you're about thoroughly screwed as expected in this sort of game. But, you know, you get wind that there might be a survivor on board. Oh, that's great news. But you start picking up these little notes, you know, real normal stuff like, I definitely made the right decision coming up here on the promenade where all the food is. No idea if anyone else is alive, but I'm definitely going to make it. And it might be 4 days since I've been holed up in here, and I got a fever. That can't be great news.
It's always
and
the fever.
I made a friend. He's really funny. His face is a little too close to my face, though. And these just keep getting more and more unhinged as you hear this near-human voice and mass slamming against a door as you get closer and closer down the hall. What the heck? I'm sure the people that, again, keep following, that might have followed me from here, want this. So here we go. Sorry for this, too. This is the Queen Zenobia. Emergency call. Over and over again as you get to the lock. I mean, and you just keep going and the chains rattling on the door. I'm like, oh. I mean, if you were there, we'd just nope out and, you know, call in something much bigger to go deal with whatever's back there. But you gotta pop open that lock and you just see this multi-headed spring zombie ooze thing with a biomass chainsaw thing lunging at you. I just thought that whole build up with the breadcrumb files and things leading all out to that was just incredible.
Yeah. Did you play this originally on the 3DS, or did you not experience it later until one of the console ports?
Oh, I played it on the 3DS originally. Then I played it on Wii U. I just played it a bunch of times. It's great. Yeah.
So that's what I was wondering, if even in the handheld mode, like, it still like allowed that same type of like swell and build up and all that stuff, and the excitement of it, the anxiety of it, anyway. But even the power of the 3DS could scare you and knock you out.
Oh yeah, sure.
That is one that I skipped playing. I don't, for some reason, I remember that, like, at the time when that was released, thinking it was essentially like the Mercenaries mode from, like, you know, 4 or 5, just kind of like extrapolated on and you know, put on a portable game and all stuff. So I skipped playing that, and then now, yes, as you've so graciously called out, I'm just afraid of scary games at this point, and so I just can't play them anymore. I judged this game wrong. I assumed it was just like that multiplayer, like, mercenary style thing. I didn't realize it was you know, just more Resident Evil, just on the go.
It didn't help that on the, like, a few months before that, they had Resident Evil Mercenaries on the 3DS, which really was that mode extrapolated on the 3DS on the go. And I didn't even play that one just because I'm not paying $40 for that. I mean, but I kept seeing previews for Revelation, like, yeah, I'll go get that when that's ready. But this, I don't need.
Yeah. So do you fancy yourself then as a Resident Evil fan, or was this just right moment, right time, right hardware, that kind of impressed you?
It was right because, like I said, it was in that weird time where 5 and 6 were kind of not great for folks. And I'm personally a big 7 and 8 liker. I know a lot of people still don't, just like, it's still not doing the right thing. I think they've been right in the ship with 7 and 8. I can't wait for 9 and the February or March, whenever that's coming out. But I think it's both of those things. It's a good game, and it was all at just the right time for all that too.
Yeah, I missed this one, and I'm just not going to be able to go back and play like this style of game. It's even the controls. Like, I never complained or was like a tank control hater or anything. Like, the games were designed, you know, and balanced around those types of controls, so I never, you know, had that complaint. But that is just part of the layer that adds that anxiety to, like, you know, if something's running at me, I want to quickly be able to, like, just sprint and turn and run. And when you aren't as quick and nimble on the analogs, you know, it just makes it much more tense. So more power to you for being able to play a game like this. I can't do it.
This had the traditional 3D controls, though. That was that was what they were all trying to experiment with at the time, at least for this. Well, They moved on to the second one too, but there was a Revelations 2. It was not very good. I don't know why they even called it Revelations 2. That's all. But that's not the question you asked me today.
Yeah, I mean, there was the sequel, which is interesting. I, you know, part of me wonders if they didn't expect this to, you know, maybe be as well received as it was. I mean, it didn't, like, you know, blow socks off, you know, necessarily, like, you know, people and like, you know, rake in a ton of money, but it probably did better than Capcom was projecting it to, and that's why they decided to go back to the well with the sequel. But even then, the sequel was then designed with, like, consoles on the mind, and, you know, it wasn't like a 3DS title, so it was a really weird decision.
Yeah.
But so not a fan of the second one then. This first one here was a time and place for you that did it.
Absolutely.
The bosses, I'm looking at a couple screenshots of it, and obviously it's got that classic, you know, overly gross and overly mutated, like, creature design and everything for the biomass enemies that, you know, appear in this one. So that's got to be a good time. Is this better than, if you played it, is this better than that Resident Evil Gaiden, the Game Boy version, the Game Boy game that was Leon and Barry, or was supposed to have been Leon and Barry?
Got to play that one.
That it's also one that took place on a ship. So I'm not sure which Resident Evil did it better, okay, on a ship. You know,
of course they stuck that one on a boat.
Yeah, it's really confined and everything. And then in Resident Evil 7, you know, you end up. You end up visiting a boat at the end of that game, you know? You go on a creepy boat with a creepy kid walking around, and, no, I'm out.
Yeah, you did do that at the end, but it's not quite the same. You did with the Queen Zenobia, you're kind of stuck there the whole time. I mean, you keep swapping out to Chris and his character, Helper of the Day, with that too, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah, and that's funny too. When you mentioned the partner here in this game, have they ever gone back and reused them? Like, have they appeared in any Resident Evil game since?
Maybe he was in Revelations 2. I don't remember. It was just that game was more Barry reconciling with his daughter. Like, yeah, from the first game, like, he has a daughter that he hasn't talked to. Like, okay, I guess that's a thing, because you never brought her up until now.
All right. Yeah.
Father of the year.
Well, here's an opportunity for, you know, they seem to be doing these games in, like, batches of three. You know, you can kind of call 4, 5, and 6, you know, that same type of, like, control and design, everything. And now 7, 8, and 9 are all kind of in that same vibe. If they go into a new trilogy, bring back the forgotten partners from these spinoffs and side games, and you know, do something, you know, obscure and unnecessary with their stories. Tie up all the plot threads.
Just sink the reputation of the franchise again. That'll be fun forever.
People will appreciate it. People will appreciate it. You know, it'll be well received. I'm think for sure. But yeah, I'm gonna check. I should check out some gameplay of it then. Yeah, I think it's funny that the icebreaker question I asked of you, I did that with this game. I judged it wrongly for its cover and its name, and I thought it was going to be one thing, and I didn't even quite realize it was something different. So at the very least, I'll check out some YouTube videos of some gameplay, and I'll see if I can find that moment and have some fun with it. But there's no way I'm going to pick it up. I'm just too weak as a grown man these days.
I was going to say, it's on sale all the time. What are you talking about? You can get it on your console of choice right now. Not the 3DS, but...
I mean, the advice I've been given to try, you know, is to just throw the difficulty down, you know, like, do that to help me feel a little less anxious about it. But, like, I don't know. I think it's just passed me by. But maybe one day, if I'm bored enough and it's cheap enough and the stars align, that could happen. But, all right, Steve, believe it or not... we did it. That's the thing. I get you on here. I ask you a question. You answer the question, and then the episode's done. That's all we've got then for this one. Before we go, though, obviously, go listen to Fine Time. It can help fill your car rides, or if you exercise for any reason and you, like, run. I don't do that. However you listen to podcasts other than a car, I don't know, do that. But what else would you like to maybe plug or share? Or is there a recent episode you think people who haven't listened to it should check out to get a taste of what your show's like?
We're a podcast that updates every Thursday, even if it kills us. So I don't know what we... I don't know when this is going up, but we've probably got an episode about... Usually the locals going on, but we're taking off for the holidays, so I think we're doing a month of Darksiders reviews for Christmas, and me and our self-proclaimed Poke Pals, we got a review for Pokemon ZA coming up. We got plenty of fine times, even when we're off.
Yeah, I think that's what's also fun about Fine Time is that it's not beholden to just talking about the latest or newest games or retro games. It is like both. It is whatever just kind of catches your fancy, and y'all just bring games to the show and talk about them from having played them, not talk about them because you're obligated to make sure it's like content that is modern and like, you know, relevant to like the now of the conversation. Y'all just have a good time chatting about games and having fun with each other. So it's a fun show. So y'all should check it out.
Thank you for that.
But yeah, I'll have the links in the show notes below. You can find Fine Time, you know, a bunch of places. But what about you personally? Do you have any social media or things like that that you want people to follow you in, or that you'd like to plug? Anything else maybe you'd like to share?
My personal Blue Sky account is Monotone Gen at Fine Time if you want to follow me personally. But most of my projects are tied to Fine Time itself. I have nothing special going on outside of that most times.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I'll have links there again, like I said, in the show notes below. But Steve, thank you for coming on. I appreciate having a new guest. And I think this is the first... I think this is the first like 3DS conversation I've had from like a wow moment piece. You know, it's a fun piece of hardware. So it's fun to actually be able to talk about that and kind of go back to that space. But again, thank you for doing the show. You will hear Steve again because we're going to literally record another episode right after this. You'll hear them weeks apart, listener. But look forward to hearing more from Steve on a future episode.
Wow, you blow the curtain back worse than I do.
It's because I know that I'm going to reference something in the next episode, and it's going to be like, oh, well, we just talked about it because we did just talk about it, but it's going to be weeks later for people. So I just got to get that band-aid off and make sure, you know, ruin the magic for folks. But thank you for helping me ruin the magic, Steve. We will see you in a few weeks in the podcast feed and in a few moments on the recording. Bye.
Hello, we are Kirby Conversations, a podcast on Kirby, along with other adjacent subjects like Smash Brothers, HAL Laboratory, and other related Nintendo games.
In each episode, we take an in-depth, well-researched look at a Kirby topic, drawing on our decades of experience playing Kirby games, creating Kirby-related content, and working in and around the video game industry. I'm Sean Douglas. I'm a theater and video game journalist.
And my name's Bridget. I'm an online Kirby commentator and collector.
Our team also includes photographer and Nintendo ambassador Kai Captain Dangerous Parker and Gigi, the editor-in-chief of Wick Kirby. Join us for deep dives into Kirby's history, interviews with industry professionals, and even inside looks at Nintendo, as together we explore all things Kirby and HAL Laboratory. You can find Kirby Conversations on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.